Going live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live about 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, long day at LiveX. Sorry for the late arrival here, but, you know, not like there was a ton of Packers news to talk about, to no one's surprise. Joey the Jaguar, what's up, man? Great game last night. Back at you, man. That was fantastic. First patron to take me into overtime in the Madden Challenge, but still, I remain undefeated thanks to a walk-off touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams. But Joey, let me tell you, you're a very good player. You killed me on defense. I think you had four takeaways. You're legit. No question about it. What's up, everyone? Popeye, you're a patron. What's up, man? Thanks for your support of Cheesehead TV. Bud, hello, what's up? Why have we not re-signed Irvin? Nathan, it's been like four and a half hours since he became a free agent. Patience. Hi, Nags. Hope you're safe and healthy, my friend. Mike, hang in there. I got to say, it is very weird here in New York City. I spent the majority of my day here in my living room working. The only time I went out today was to get my laundry, and that's about it. And talk to people in the city. LiveX studio is open, so I was in communication with Corey throughout the day. We had a live show this afternoon for LiveX. It's New York's a very weird place to be right now. Kenneth Murray, no matter what, Jitsu, you're talking my language. Just put that up on Twitter. The front line, so to speak, quote unquote, big name linebackers pretty much have all been signed at this point. And I can't say I'm terribly surprised that Gutekunst didn't jump in at the prices that those guys got. And that's not to say they're not worth it, but anybody who's watched this channel for any length of time knows I've been saying repeatedly, day after day, that there are lots of other teams with a lot more cap space that are probably going to make things untenable for the Packers when it comes to trying to dive into free agency. When it comes to other teams being interested, the Packers have to be judicious in their spending. And so the lack of activity after those first couple signings doesn't really surprise me. And I thought, if you haven't had the chance yet to read Spoon's column over there at PackersNews.com, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he gave a bunch of really good reasons for why Gutekunst is most likely sitting out free agency early on. And it kind of falls in line with what we've been talking about here. But I think they're hovering around $14 million in cap space at this point. You know, they've got to be careful with what they do going forward. I think they'll, much like we've said, Gutekunst will let the market play out a little bit early on, and then he'll pick through the deluge afterwards. Scott, who is starting at tight end? Rookie? No, I doubt it'll be a rookie. I think it'll be second-year player Jay Sternberger, who they spent a third-round pick on last year. Obviously missed a lot of time. But to that point, that's something that Tom pointed out at the end of that column, which I completely agree with, and I try to hammer this home every year, every offseason. You know, it's one thing to go out and sign a bunch of free agents to big deals and everybody gets excited. But what everyone forgets is that what you want is development from your previous year's draft class. And the Packers have counted on that through the last decade or so. And they've more often than not always, but more often than not, gotten a good return on that. Guys like Jay Sternberger, guys like Darnell Savage, the big name, obviously, is Rashawn Gary. Those are the guys that have to make big jumps in year two. That will be your de facto free agent class. Because, look, they want to be able to re-sign their own guys, the guys that they feel are their core contributors, whether it's David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, Aaron Jones, Kevin King. Those are the guys that they're going to want flexibility, the ability to maintain and retain. And going out and overspending on an inside linebacker is going to upset that apple cart. And obviously that is not the only way to build a ball club. That is not the only way to go about personnel acquisition, roster building, etc. But it certainly seems that Gutekunst is very much an extension of Ted Thompson in that way. And I think that's pretty smart. And that's not to say he won't try to swing for the fences if it makes sense and something's available, much like he did last year with Khalil Mack. But for the most part, I understand what he's doing. Craig, thanks so much for the super chat. Do we play the NFC South this year and see Tom Brady? They do indeed play Tampa Bay. and down in Tampa. So I would suggest hopping on those tickets sooner rather than later, because they're only going to go up. And I think they're pretty damn expensive already after the announcement that Brady is going to join the Buccaneers. I'm not sold on signing another old tight end. Would love to see Sternberger or Tanyan develop. Martin, I'm with you for the most part, but I understand why they're been attached. There was a report earlier today that they have interest in Delanie Walker. I think if you can get him on a cheap one-year deal, he makes a world of sense. LaFleur knows him, and LaFleur's offense in Tennessee was light years different after Walker went down. He looked really promising in preseason in that first game, and then it all fell apart. But if they can get him on a cheap one-year deal, he's still a receiving threat. He's not a great blocker by any stretch of the imagination, but he can play that H-back spot, and he can still do damage down the field. Yeah, I don't hate that idea at all. Let's see. What's the status of my Lord and Savior, Kumaro? Well, he was tendered, so he's still in the fold. He's not going anywhere. Is there a reason Green Bay doesn't value linebackers who can cover? Well, I don't think it's as easy as that. I don't think it's as blanket as that. I just think they haven't prioritized having a three-down backer. More than anything else, I think that's the case. But I don't think there's any secret vendetta against backers who can cover. They just haven't spent the necessary capital to go get one. Sorry, guys. But Aaron, where can I buy tickets for the Tampa game? That's a great question, Craig. And I'll tell you, once we get a recommitment from a past sponsor, how's that? Thoughts on Josh Bynes should help with the run defense. I know Spoon put it out there yesterday that, that was a possibility. Sure. Sounds like he kind of walked that back. I mean, a 30-year-old backer, yeah, if he's dirt cheap, I'm fine with it. And I think they have to do probably something to augment it. Now, last year, obviously, they traded for B.J. Goodson at the end of camp. Goodson just signed with the Cleveland Browns a little while ago, right before I went live. So there's a chance that they may go that kind of route. There are a couple guys out there, whether it's Bynes, a couple older guys. Alec Ogletree is still out there. I mean, those are guys that, you know, you let them sit. And if they're still out there in a couple of weeks' time, or maybe at the end of the week, then yeah, sure, maybe you bring them in on a year or two deal. But it's not a pressing thing that you have to, like, get. There's, you know, speed is of the essence to sign Alec Ogletree. It's just not the case. Marco, thanks so much for the super chat. Would you agree that the Packers have a good track record of letting offensive linemen leave at just the right time? Wall, Rivera, Lang, Sitton. That's an interesting point. I mean, you could point to all those guys and kind of their fall off in play slash injury issues after they left the Packers. But I do wonder how Lang would have played if he had remained in Green Bay with the line that he had, the chemistry he had with the guys around him and or the quarterback. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for that. You know, we hear all the time about offensive line play and how important cohesion is and getting snaps together. And that plays out. The lines that play together a lot usually are the better offensive lines in the league. So then these guys go and they leave and they get paid elsewhere and they're with other people and with other coaching and in other systems, etc. Yeah, sometimes there's a drop off or sometimes they get injured. But I always do wonder, like, what would have happened if TJ had stuck around? What if they don't cut Sid? You know, I understand moving on a year too early rather than a year too late. I am completely on board with it. But I do think sometimes they probably would have played at a higher level had they stuck around Green Bay. Again, not always, but some of them. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. After seeing Silverstein's article about the 2019 draft class, I'm so excited for the second year. I love it. I always say this time of year, you don't want to be, you make the headlines now. You don't necessarily make the win column in December and January, which is when it counts, you know? I think for the most part, the Packers are being smart. And I do love the idea of counting on those second-year guys to make a jump. Now, you still want to augment your talent base. I still think there are moves that could possibly be made, especially at wide receiver, to help the offense, to help Aaron Rodgers. But again, free agency is officially 4 hours and 45 minutes old. There's a lot of ball games. Real DK, thanks for the super chat. What do the CV rules mean for free agency signing physicals? A lot of stuff that's going to be reported. You've seen team Twitter handles kind of joking about this now. I think both the Houston Texans and Arizona Cardinals alluded to the big trade, but they're not allowed to officially announce it. All of the official announcements on that are going to be on hold because of the lack of the ability of these teams to have physicals with these guys. They can't bring them in. And I think it kind of played into the Bears earlier today trading for Nick Foles because they can't get Cam Newton in for a physical. It was reported that they had interest in Cam, but they did wonder about his, basically where his knee is, where his back is. And rather than take that chance, they traded for Foles. So I think those are pretty singular cases. And for the most part, we'll see guys eventually take a physical and be officially signed. But as far as official being on the roster, all those moves are going to be on hold until those physicals get taken. And one of the reasons the Packers were able to sign and officially announce Wagner and Kirksey is because they had them in. Kirksey visited last week. Wagner was able to come in after he was cut. So he wasn't officially a free agent. So he got in right under the wire before everything closed down. So after that, it's going to be very much you have to hold and wait until whatever guidelines get in place next as far as reopening Lambeau Field. Cheesehead TV rocks. Thanks, John. Very nice of you to say. North Pole, Alaska, what's up? I think tight ends will be a big part of the season. Sign three, we have to let them play. Go Pack, go. I don't think you need to sign three. I could see them signing one. I think they need to let Sternberger play. And let Tanyan play. And hey, maybe bring back Mercedes Lewis. How about four tight ends? There you go. Gary needs a huge year to jump just to prove he was worth that 12th overall pick last year. I mean, in the eyes of the public, probably. I don't think they give a crap in 1265. They took him knowing they had the Smiths in front of him, and then the Smiths went on to have the most productive year in the league. It's not surprising he didn't get on the field much, but he's got to get on the field at some point, and it's incumbent upon the coaching staff to make that happen. But inside the building, I think they're happy. They know, Kyler Fackrell is now signed with the Giants. That bumps up to Gary into the third spot in that rotation, and I do think they will kick Z inside, much like we saw down the stretch last year, enabling Gary to get on the edge. And maybe switching that. Sometimes I think Gary will rush inside and we'll have Z on the edge. So I think you'll see him on the field more. He'll start to be more productive. And maybe some of these naysayers start to kind of back off on that idea. But I think you're right in the sense that if he doesn't make a big jump, if he isn't a lot more productive, certainly the headlines will be written. Certainly the chat will be had, whether it's here on Extra Cheese or whether it's on Twitter or wherever people congregate on the internet. People will start to say that is a total bust of a draft pick. And that's not Gary's fault in the sense that he can't control where he was picked, but he's got to get on the field and he's got to produce. No question about it. Do I have enough TP and hand sanitizer? I do have enough hand sanitizer. I will admit I'm down to my last, package of toilet paper. I think I got about 10 rolls left. We'll see. Hopefully things don't get Shaun of the Dead around here anytime soon. Ben, thanks for the super chat. If you had a choice to choose one from Delanie Walker/Ebron and one from Perryman/Anderson, which wide receiver tight end duo would you choose? I don't know. That's a good question. I'd probably take Walker-Anderson, probably. Although Perryman and Ebron would be fine too. I wouldn't sneeze at either one of them or any of those combos. Would you take a chance on Kendricks? No. Banky old-fashioned video would be excellent content during this quarantine. Jordan, it would indeed. But I will say this right here for posterity so it is recorded as I'm saying it. Corey Banky is an absolute wizard. And to watch